Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Good morning and welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Lee Prater will be conducting our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to participate in that service. You will note in your bulletin that the 2 p.m. service is the final activity scheduled for this afternoon. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine. This coming Wednesday, he will be speaking on what the scriptures teach about the question, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? One other note, we will be having our quarterly congregational business meeting on September 8th. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymn this morning. So let us begin our worship now with hymn number 70, Holy, Holy, Holy. Continue our worship now with hymn number 308, Higher Ground.
You are
please stand now as we sing hymn number 388, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
This morning, please. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our high priest. And Father, we pray that as we worship together, that we will do it in his spirit and in truth, and that each one of us may have the experience of meeting Jesus, his words, his counsel. Each one of us may go home with the sense that we have been under the presence of God and that God really spoke to us and taught us a lesson for our life. We are grateful, O God, that we can worship here in Morgan Hill, California. We are grateful that via radio and KKNC and in KKXX, we can worship with other people across California. And then, Father, we are grateful for the internet, because via internet and live, we can worship with hundreds and thousands of people, not only in California, but in the United States and also across America. And Father, not only in America, in the Americas, but also in Europe, in Asia, in every place in the world where there is a computer, there is a possibility that somebody has listened to this service. And we pray, O God, that we will be faithful to the scripture, faithful to the message that Christ Jesus has power to save, that in him there is holiness, as we've seen at the beginning of our service, and that he wants us to be holy as he is holy. And so, Father, we pray that as we share the message of love and compassion of Christ, we also share the severity that rejecting Christ is a destiny in hell. And so, Father, we pray for blessings upon the listeners and also for those who later on via the tape ministry and via the CD ministry can hear the sermon and the entire service again. May, O God, everything we do be used to thy glory, to thy honor, and especially to the salvation of many, many, many souls that they need to come to Christ. As a family of God, we have in our local church needs, and we pray for one of our founders, our brother Sherwood, who is in Northern California, and now in bed and home. And Father, we pray that your comfort, your power, the assurance of the great work that he did when he had his strength, that he be sure that our church keep on going, and that those years of foundation and those years in which we struggle to put the church together are not in vain, because we keep on preaching Christ. Bless him and bless his wife. We pray for our beloved Loretta Forrest, heading on for a brain surgery. Father, we pray that you will give her an easy feeling that you are in control. And the age doesn't matter, We thank America, and we thank you, O God, for the science that you have provided so that we can be assisted in a moment like this. We are grateful, Lord, that Danielle, my granddaughter, have the surgery, the two surgeries, nose and throat, and she is already talking and mumbling around. And thank you, Father. Thank you for the success. And Lord, we are also experiencing a lot of members in vacation this Sunday and the coming Sunday. And we pray that wherever they are, they may enjoy and rebuild their strength. They may visit in some churches around the area, and they may enjoy the fellowship of other believers so that they too may honor you in this day. Father, we also pray for many people who lost their job and they are here in fellowship with us. We are in a very difficult situation economically in the country, and many of our engineers are without job. And so, Father, I remember 35 years ago when I started in this country, they need engineers, but I don't know English. And I had to spend 6-7 months in a school trying to learn the basics so that I can get a job. But now the situation is entirely different. We have a super amount of engineers, good engineers, but Father, we are lacking jobs. So whatever is happening, we pray, Lord, that you turn around and there are people may find a job so they have money to support their family and to support the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for our choir. We thank you, Lord, for the man who reads our Bible. We thank you, Lord, that you give us a space in this morning hill to proclaim Jesus. That's the only thing we want to do. We want people to know Jesus. Because when we know Jesus, all the things and all the problems of life can be solved. And so, Father, I'm grateful that you gave me the privilege to preach in a local church. The church that you instituted till you come, you said in the scripture. And we will be here till you come, Lord, because we want to be faithful to your word. Also, Father, we are grateful that my daughter has been in a remarkable crisis. And I'm grateful that somewhere, somehow, between two doctors, they're finding their way out. And Lord, that released my heart. To the point that yesterday I flat in my bed for 4 hours, unconscious, sleeping, relaxing, because I've been for 2 weeks without breath. Lord, you have touched the fiber of my heart. And I thank you that you show me that you do what you want. And you, oh Father, command me to stand still in the position of a pastor regardless. And I thank you for the strength that I have is your strength. And now, Lord, I thank you for your people. We have increased the expenditure of our church as they assume more responsibility on my life because I left the radio. And the budget increased enormously. And your people are responding. And I thank you, Lord, for the love they have for me. And I thank you for the love they have for you because they want this ministry to be aired over the airs. They want this ministry to be heard around America. And what we want people to know is Jesus. Thank you for the support, Father. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the giving. And thank you for those visitors that have come this morning to us. May they too find this place a home for their heart. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. If you didn't bring a Bible, there is a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for sending our Lord Jesus Christ to do all those things for us that we are helpless to do for ourselves, and for having given us eternal life. We thank you for the unspeakable gift of your Son, and thank you for having given us to him. We pray, Father, for strength in keeping your law, and while we confess our failures, we can say with the psalmist how we love your law and have hidden thy word in our hearts, that we may not sin against thee. We pray, Father, now for our your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that as he brings the teaching on the law and the gospel, that you would bless him and his words and give us understanding. We pray for mercy for those listening here and on the radio and internet who do not know you, that they may have ears to hear and understand and believe the good news of your salvation, that they may turn to the only Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated.
Once again, we are looking on the 10 words of God as the book of Exodus is spelled it out, or as the book of Numbers mentioned, the 10 commandments, and we are in number 9 today. The first four commandments had to do with my relationship with God, and the other six commandments have to do with our relationship to one another. And so when God gave these laws to the nation of Israel, were with the purpose, number one, to focus in God straight without mistake, and then how to focus in each other so there would be a wholesome and great relationship among people. The first guideline God instructed us for the good of society and the family, you find it in verse 12, and it has to do with honoring the family. The second guideline God instructed us for the good of society is the permanency of matrimony. The second guideline instructed for the good of society is the sacredness of life, as you see it in verse 13. The life is sacred and cannot be touched. And the third guideline that God instructed us for the good of society is the permanency of matrimony. If a country is going to be healthy, it depends on the family. And that's very important. The family is sacred to me, and some people blame me for being Latin, and we are too hot on the family, but I want to tell them that the Hebrew people are the most remarkable people because they were extremely careful with their family. If not, you read the story of Jacob and how mad were the brothers when somebody abused their sister, that they want to destroy an entire city. It was not by the intervention of the grace of God. And the fourth guideline for our good of society has to do with the sacredness of property. Remember verse 15. We have to respect people's property, God's property, and the spiritual property of God. Now we come to the fifth guideline for the good of society, and has to do with our speech. Look at in verse 16. We read in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 16, these words, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And so I entitle this guideline, "Sentinel of Our Tongue," watching our tongue. Those who have served in the military, you know that word sentinel. For 2 hours, when I was in my country and in this country, 2 hours at a time, you're sentinel for a position. And you watch, and that was the word, sentinel. In other words, you are attentive with all your senses to what happened for these 2 hours, protecting whatever you were protecting. And I use that word then in the highest degree of the meaning. We need to be really watching carefully our tongue. And there are three things that I question to this commandment that I would like to put to you so that we solve the problem on how to watch our tongue. The question number one is this: what does God means by it? What does God means, "Thou shalt not bear false witness"? And the second question will be, why is it so important? Why is it so important? And then the final question is,
how can we accomplish the commandment and be happy? Let's work on it. The first question, what does God mean by it, thou shalt not covet thy no bear false witness against thy neighbor? What does God mean by it? There are three kinds of speech in criminal law. Have you been in court sometimes, and sometimes you're a witness in court, and you hear lawyers talk and so on, and sometimes you need to research something in order to make a statement. In American criminal law, there are three forms of speech that can be condemned by law in a criminal forum. And so let's examine this in the light of the scripture and see how these three are in the scripture. In America, because America was founded on the scripture, found their laws of the country just parallel to the Bible. Here is the first law, speaking deliberately. It's speaking about someone with malice. It's speaking deliberately. Let me give you an example of Jezebel. If you turn your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 10, page 238 in the Bible that is in the pew, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 10, you have an example of what means to speak deliberately, speak with malice. This is the story about a man by name Naboth, who owned a piece of land. And King Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, wanted to buy the land. And he went with an army, and he said, how much you want? And the man, according to the Hebrew law, had the right to say no. And he said, no, I'm sorry. This is not the land that I bought. I inherited this land from my parents. Whatever I inherit, I will not sell. So I'm sorry, King, I will not sell the land. And he went very sad home, said this story in 1 Kings 21. And I imagine his wife went by him and said, darling, how things go? He said, go bad. I want to buy that piece of land over there for my horses. And this guy don't want to sell it to me. I fix it, she said. Watch out when a wife said, I fix it. All right. Verse 10, I'll read it for you. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. You see what she planned? She said, we bring the man to court, and we get two men, sons of Belial. You know what Belial is? In the New Testament, Belial is a name, the Arab name for the devil. So you get two sons of the devil over there, and you get it right there, and we bring the man to court, and we say that this man blasphemed God, and according to the law, you need to be stoned. If you blaspheme God or the king, if you say a word against the president of the United States or the king, you need to be stoned. This is how serious it is for God to speak. And so the newspapers today, all the editors will be stoned. But I tell you, these women, you know, she have ingenuity, but this is malice. This is what is called as malice. And in the criminal law, this is speaking deliberately. She premeditated, and she said, I want to hurt that man. And she did. And the man was stoned because of what she did. So speaking deliberately is a criminal factor. Now, the second thing in the criminal law is considered a crime is speaking with negligence. And speaking with negligence is speaking without searching the facts. That's also punished by law in the United States and in the Bible. If you go to the book of Job, J-O-B, before the book of Psalm, chapter 2, page 328, chapter 2, verses 7 to 10, you find the case of this man who had been hurt by events that happened in his life. He lost his business, he lost his houses, he lost his children, he lost his employers, he lost everything. A man, the Bible said, he was the richest man in town. And God permitted to show the glory of God and the life of this man. Now, his wife do not have the facts altogether. And so she spoke to him with negligence. Let me show you what she said. Chapter 2, verse 7. So when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore balls from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes, then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. See, that's speaking with negligence. Now, Job answered in this way. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. You speak like an unbeliever. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all these did not Job sin with his lips. So Job has a fact altogether. God can send you goodness, and sometimes he sends you no goodness. It's all for our good anyway, but he sends you obstacles, and you say, I don't need this, but that comes in your way. Things that you never imagined. You cannot even imagine what is going to happen if we live in 1 year to us. Actually, in 1 month to us. Actually, tomorrow. But God sent everything in our way for our benefit, said the scripture in Romans 8:28. And Job knew that, but she didn't. And I don't know if she was an unbeliever or not, because Job said, you speak like one. Job did not say, you are an unbeliever. He said, and the way you talk sounds like a foolish woman, which means sound like somebody who doesn't know God. And that's speaking with negligence, speaking without searching the facts. And people all over the world do that. They say, there is no God. People do that, and without searching the facts. And people say, God cannot answer prayer without searching the fact. It's really sad that this is the most common crime in the life of ourselves, speaking without searching the fact, without collecting all the facts together and put it together. Now, the third one is the one that is in the commandment. Speaking falsely is speaking with bending the facts. That is condemned by law and is condemned in the scripture. Let me give you the reference. The New Testament speaks about this in the book of Acts, chapter 5. The man who bent the facts died because he did it. That's in page 641. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. The man who bend the facts and move the facts away die because of this. Look at what the Bible says. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those. Now you know why now the penalty was dead. You look at the commandment. The commandment clearly said, thou shalt not bear false witness. And you should not bend the facts when you witness. Now this man sold the property. And if you sell your property, you are entitled to keep it all by yourself. God's not going to punish you if you keep the entire profit that you make in the property. God doesn't say you sell your property and you give it to the Lord. Doesn't say that. That's in your heart. That's something that if you have a desire to give for a project or to give to something, this up to you. But this man Seems to me, for what the scripture says, the property was paid off. So he sold the entire property, and he wanted to show up in the church. And so he came on Sunday morning when the offering was taken, and he said, bending the facts, he said, sir, he said to one of the deacons, I sold this property for so much, and here is all the money. Now, nobody will know. And the people took the money. But they were dealing in a very special dispensation where the apostle knew in his heart that he was lying. Now, if you tell me something, I have no way to know if you're lying or not, unless it's obvious. But at that time, the apostle knew. And the Bible says that the apostle determined that he should die. In the Old Testament, he should die for speaking falsely. And the man died, and then later on his wife came, did the same thing, and died. Now, why? If you look in the Bible again, in verse 3, you have the reason why the penalty was so serious. When we speak falsely, look at what the Bible said. Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? See, speaking falsely is speaking guided by Satan. Now, we talk about speaking malice, which is part of your sin nature. And we talk about speaking deliberately is part of your sin nature and evil nature. But speaking falsely is the greatest degree in the criminal law. And it's because, of course, the law in the United States doesn't say this, but the Bible says that when you speak falsely, you are bending the facts because Satan is working in your heart and mind and is making you doing that. And that's a serious business. So that's what God means by the commandment. He doesn't mean being malice. He doesn't mean you spoke without searching the facts. He means you spoke bending the facts, and you spoke because Satan guided you. That's serious business. That's serious business. Bending the facts. Now, why is so important? Why is so important? Why this business of speaking, bending the facts is so important? Now, remember this. Satan has filled the heart of this man, and that's the standard. So, why is so important? The book of James explained to us in a marvelous way. I have time to read it. Then James chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. If you go to James at the end of the Bible, I don't have the page number, but if you go there, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, you find the way that is explained clearly. Look it with me. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we all shall receive striker judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us. Thank you, Mr. Noriel. And for those who listen, I just got a glass of water. All right. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, whatever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men. We have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So almost to the end of the New Testament, the issue of speaking falsely is up to level. Now, why is so important? There are three things James said here very clearly. Number one, if you disregard the commandment, that brings destruction to you. If you disregard this commandment of speaking falsely, that brings destruction to you. Look at it in verse 5 and in verse 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a wall of iniquity. And so the tongue can destroy. How many times a false statement has destroyed the reputation of a very wonderful man? Disregard the commandment, bring destruction. Disregard the commandment, bring chaos. Look in verse 3. Indeed, we put beasts in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Verse 4, look also at sheep. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by every small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. If you don't control the tongue, you're going to bring chaos in your life because you're going to be going one place to the other. Not only that, they bring destruction, they bring chaos. Also, they bring confusion. Look at verse 8 to 10. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. Wow. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the image of God. See, how can you do that? It's confusing. In one hand, you sing a hymn and praise the Lord or preach in the pulpit. In the other hand, you speak falsely. Oh, come on. What is going on? You see that, what James said? It's a very serious thing. Disobedience to these commandments brings serious consequences to our life. We can destroy somebody else's life. We can have chaos in our own life. And then we get confused also. So now, what can we do about it? Can we visit a psychologist and he will help us to speak better, have better center of mind? What is the problem, really? Is your inheritance is because of your great-great-great-grandfather that he was a little off, and now you got the seed from your great-great-great-grandfather, and now you're a little off? Where is the seed of the problem? Where do you find the point that you can say, here is the original thing, and we're going to deal with that, and then solve the problem once for all? It is found in Proverbs 23, and in verse 7, page 398, if you follow with the Bible and the pulpit. Proverbs 23, verse 7, reveal to us where the problems come from. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible said, for as he is mankind, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So actually, the problem of the tongue is not that I need a new vocabulary or I need a new dictionary. It is deeper than that. It's not that I don't know the language enough or whatever, or my grandfather or my great-grandfather have a problem and is speaking the truth without bending the facts. That's not the problem. The problem is more serious than that. The problem is deeper than being brought in a German society, or in a Russian society, or in a Latin society. The problem is deeper and deeper than that. If you look over there in the text, they said, as a man thinketh his heart. So before your words come up, your words are made already. And not in the gugusa, in the very being of you, in your heart. So the problem is the heart. It is not the intellect. It is not the malicious mind. Falsehood comes deeper than that. Comes, who controls the heart, controls your vocabulary. That's serious business. Serious business. Serious business. How are we going to solve it? We change you from one family to the new family, now the new family controls you and you'll be okay? No. That is not the way. There is a solution, though. There is a great solution. Seems to me that each time I offer you the solution, it's always the same as Christ, but it is the solution. I want to offer you two scriptures. One in the Old Testament and the other in the New Testament. The Old Testament is blank, like the Old Testament scripture, and bold. And the New Testament will explain this Old Testament scripture to solve the problem. And that will be our conclusion. Turn your Bible to the old book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, page 508, if you have the Bible in the pew. Page 508, chapter 36 of Ezekiel, and verse 26. 36 and verse 26. Now here is the bold statement of God to Israel. There comes in a moment when, I don't know if you read the book of Ezekiel, it's very funny, the book of Ezekiel, God asked Ezekiel to get nude and walk in the city. And Ezekiel said, hold it. You know, you cannot see the nudity of your cousin, the nudity of these. There is laws in Deuteronomy, and Ezekiel bring those things to God. So God said, do this, get nude and walk in the city. I'm going to give a lesson to Israel. That's how they are in front of me. They really need, remember at the time of Ezekiel, there was a rebellious pride, a mighty nation. And God said, I'm going to destroy those people, so you better advise them. But there's a solution at the end, says Ezekiel, I want you to tell them the solution. Here it is, verse 26 in chapter 36. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Now listen what the scripture says. God said, here's what I'm going to do with Israel who is in sadness. I will give you a new heart, a new you. The heart is not just the pumping blood. God is talking about the very being, a new you. I will make you new. And I will put my spirit within you to revive the new you. And I will take away the stony heart. In other words, the heart of unbelief, I will take it away. Because if you have the heart of unbelief, you will never believe. So when God performed the surgery, and I've been in many heart surgeries, I remember Romulo, I remember many friends of mine, many people, 7 or 8. The guy take the heart away, they put it in a machine, but he put the same heart back. Now, I tell you, God's not going to do that. God's not going to repair the heart and take some veins from your ears or put it over there and it's a new you. God's going to give you a new you. He takes the beam from there and throw it away as far as the east is from the west and put in you a new you. Say, I will give you a heart of flesh. Flesh means you feel God. Stone doesn't feel anything, you know? But flesh feels. Now, what is this call in the New Testament? How did God accomplish this today? Many of you who are believers have the new heart. How did God accomplish this? Let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. In chapter 13 and in verse 9, page 710. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. And I want to show you a key word that reveals the magnificent love of God for us. We read in Hebrews 13 and in verse 9, be no carry about with divers and strange doctrines. Looks like it's for today, tomorrow newspaper, that statement. You know, in the time in which we live, I turned the TV to be blessed by somebody and feed me with the word of God. But I'm scared today sometimes of what I hear. Because, see, thank God, I know certain scripture. And I know when the guy is maybe have a different doctrine than mine, it's okay, as long as he presented Christ. But when he's way off in the fields, it scared me to death. And the Bible counsel, be no carry about with diver and strange doctrines. Now, I have received, you don't know how many calls yesterday from people who visit. I never mentioned this, but I had to mention this for people who, because they are listening and I want them to know. They called me from all part of the countries because they went into Tuscarora in Bethel and listened to the conference, and there was a harmony. Where the harmony is, they all were misled. And they all accepted the misleading statement. So there is harmony. But if I tell you something, the scripture said, do the Lord suffer till I come. He said, be my pastor till the great pastor will come, Peter. And so those people who believe, they think they believe the church era ended, they have been misled, see? Be no carry about. They have been carried about by these diver and strange doctrines away. See? And God said, don't do that. Now, how do you become strong? Not be misled by doctrine, or don't be misled by speaking falsely. Here it is. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. That's the grace of God. The heart be established by grace. You cannot earn that new heart. You cannot come forward and said, I will give you my house, Pastor. Give me the grace of God. I can't give you the grace of God. God gave the grace of God. God is gracious. He says, merciful and grace, so gracious that anyone, any sinner around the world can receive the grace of God. And there is no one sinner bigger than the other sinner, by the way. When we sin, we sin. When you transgress the law, you transgress the law. That's it. And God is gracious. And I cannot earn that graciousness. I receive it. But as many as receive him, he gave them the power, the authority to become the children of God. God give you that grace. And so when God give you that grace of his presence, when God give you that grace of the knowledge of Jesus Christ who died for your sins to give you a new heart, together with that grace comes an establishment of your life, an establishment of your heart, and now you are a new creature, said the Bible. If we are in Christ, we are a new creature. We have a new being. I'm controlled not by Satan, like Peter told Ananias. I'm controlled by God. And therefore, my speech changed. Because the one who controls my speech is not Satan, is God. It's just fantastic. We have no idea. I'm trying to prepare a series that will last 3 years on the things that we have from Christ. I'm enjoying in the desk writing down. It's just, I'm babbling sometimes. I walk around when I'm happy. I just walk around the building like Joshua. There's no one to come down, Anthony. Don't worry. I just walk around and just enjoy it to see the mercy of God and the blessings of God. And then we go through the trials of life. You lose your job. You got a daughter who's dying, and you got this and you got the other. And then God said, I'm here, and I have given you my grace, and I have given you my son, and with that I give you everything. And so you got breathing again. My brother and my sister, my friend, do not try to correct your speech. Maybe what you need to correct is your belief, not your speech. depends on who you believe will determine how you speak. May God bless us, that each one of us may have in our heart the experience that we have come to believe in the Lord Jesus. And because of that, now my speech is different, my life is different, because I no longer have a stone heart, no sensitivity to the things of God. I have a heart who is sensitive to the things of God. How many times we Christians sin and we realize we have sinned, and then we come to God crying to Him. Crying to Him. And God is pleased because of His grace. Because of His grace. Let's not be like Ananias, who tried to fool people. You can fool me and I can fool you, but we cannot fool God. Let's be serious about it. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you have given us the very heart of what it is to speak. Thank you, Lord, that you are serious about false speeches, because they are filled with the life of Satan. So, Father, maybe our speech is not the problem. Maybe the heart is. And so we pray that many will take a look to Jesus and see that in Him there is power not only to be saved, but there is power to be released for our walk of life. How precious is that grace of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you reach our heart, reach many that listen perhaps to your word. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Until the journey's done.
Thank you, Terry. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that the word that came out of your Bible will settle in our heart, and that each one of us will judge ourselves and ask you to give us the strength to show the world that we are children of the living God. Today, the attention was in our speech. And Lord, I pray that we will never be found speaking falsely. I pray more that those who do so and never pay attention before, now they know that what we do is because Satan dwells in our heart. That the remedy is the grace of God given Jesus. Oh God, help those who believe not to believe and cause them to walk as you want us to walk. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.